The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to K4 Wins, along with Kai Gregory, Case Keeper, Kip Keeper. Hopefully, will join us. Of course, he's going to be in Case's backyard here in just a few minutes. So he's live and wants to explore Tony's career. Welcome to the all kinds of great handicapping college football. We've got NHL kicking off tonight, baby, finally. That's one of the reasons Kip, of course, is obviously going to be joining his son out there, Las Vegas son, and there he is. Speaking of the devil, he's joining us. Kip, you there? There he is. Hey, there
hey,
he is.
Hey, man, let's hope it has some staying power.
Sounds good. I think it'll be just fine. Tell everybody where you're at and why you're out there, man.
Well, the Global Gaming Convention kicks off this morning. It's a big deal. Every major manufacturer from around the world comes and shows off their new products, and great opportunity to kind of circulate around and learn all the intricacies of machines I don't understand. But I'm certainly a willing participant, and it's a great reward for a lot of the folks with our Birmingham Racing Commission that do such good work throughout the year to have this kind of special opportunity to come out to Vegas and hang out at the Venetian for a couple days and live the life.
You know, the one thing that's changed the most since I've been going to Vegas 20, 30 years ago has been the consumer licensing that goes along with these games. Like I can remember, I guess the Wheel of Fortune thing is still a huge casino game. But when people started making these deals with these major brands, it really took off, didn't it? I mean, I remember I got a pinball machine out of my favorite place, an AC/DC pinball machine, which I love to play. It's the only reason I play pinball is because it's got AC/DC on it. And now you got people playing pinball machines just because of what's on the front of them, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the latest in the NFL series of slot machines, which are pretty fabulous. So a lot of great stuff to walk around, and it's just a spectacle to spend time on the convention floor. So looking forward to that this morning.
Fantastic. Let's jump right into college football. At least two of us here have said we've made our biggest bets of the year already on a game early in the season. Somehow, they did cover the line this past week. We had a lot of the public money on Alabama minus the 10.5 against Vanderbilt, and they get the late touchdown, and they get the cover. And now Alabama is only giving up 3 to Missouri on the road. Case, tell me what that looks like out in Las Vegas. And is everyone jumping out like we think we are?
I mean, clearly the early money's been on Missouri because it opened 5.5, now down to 3 across the board. I think it's about in the right place now to me. I actually made the line 2.5, so I knew it was going to come off the 3, so I bet a little bit of Missouri plus 3.5, not a ton. I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of saw it against Vanderbilt too on Saturday when all the money started coming in. I think Alabama closed like 11.5 most places, whereas they were turning towards 10 a lot of the week. So I do think you're right that the majority of the bets will be on Alabama. The public seems fully behind this team, the majority of bettors. I mean, Ty Simpson, I think, is the second choice to win the Heisman now. I've been as high on Alabama as anyone. I have every future on them, and I don't know. I don't see the level of respect they're getting to this extent. It's gone a little too far for me. I was on Vanderbilt last week, and yeah, I lost, but I would make that bet again. I had 13.5, I think, or 13. I'd make that bet again 100 times out of 100. I mean, that break a long run with, 20 seconds left. So I didn't really mind going against them again this week if it's above 3. I mean, to me, it looks like a clear game where should probably – in most occasions come down to the wire, and Alabama should have a very slight advantage, but above 3, I got to lean to the Tigers.
Kai Gregory, who's been doing gambling for as long as I have been, for 35 or 40 years on both sides of the ledger for a long period of time. The first thing he said to me this morning was like, I've got the biggest
bet. He was taking action in first grade, wasn't he?
He was taking, yeah, on this game, believe it or not, Alabama giving up the 3. Before you tell us why you love Alabama so much, give us our numbers for this past week because we had another good week.
Last week, 23-15, so 60% September. 93-51, 64.5% college football so far this year, 59-27, 71% year to date, 64.6%, 839, 458, and 17 pushes.
Now, Now you're in a situation, obviously, where you've been taking action for a long period of time, and you've got Alabama homers that will play Alabama every single week, regardless of what the line is. If it was 39.5, they'd take Alabama this weekend against Missouri. Tell me why you think this game is way too low.
Missouri has feasted on weak competition, in my opinion, and that includes your lovely South Carolina team, who was, you know, in shambles back when they played. I do know that they have the number two defense as far as yards given up, only giving up 203 yards a game, whereas they also have, I think, the number four offense, averaging 547 yards a game, and they're at home again. So why is it such a low
time in a row?
Yeah, in the trenches, I think Alabama and the skill position has every single advantage. I get that Howard has been a good running back. I think he's got 730 yards total. Jam Miller coming back, I think, opens up things in a different way for Alabama that really helps them. I took a -2.5, immediately. Yesterday, last night, now it's three, and I have actually seen a couple of 3.5s, but I'm not sure it stays there. I don't know. I don't think the Hardy kid, Ahmad, I don't think he's going to run on Alabama as well. Now, granted, that is completely different from what's gone on this season, because Alabama has gotten killed against the rush, and Previla will also get out with his feet, no doubt. I just think this game, something changes. I could be wrong. I just think it changes. I think Alabama wins by at least 4. I would not be shocked to see Alabama win by double digits, which a lot of people think I'm crazy. And that's fine. That's just my 2 cents.
Kip, could that game make your bankroll this weekend? Alabama -3 against Missouri. You talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, but on the bankroll, while I'm making a big switch this week because I do the same stupid you know what, every year, I mean, I try to pride myself on being an SEC expert, and I find my itinerary the last couple weeks has been all on games out of conference. Last week, what a disastrous journey that was. So I'm laser focused on the SEC for the rest of the year from this show's standpoint, and anybody who is looking for my 2 cents on games, because I'm going to stick with what I know. And what I know is this game is fraught with peril, because it certainly looks like, on just general observation, that Alabama has better personnel. But it's such a weird trip to go to Columbia, Missouri, and play in that place. And this team has been home for 6 straight home games. I don't ever remember that in any level of college football in my experience, which has been a long time. And they had a week off. Everybody has a week off before Alabama, which is another big factor here. If they were banged up a little bit from their 5 home games, they're going to be pretty fresh now. I just think this game can go a lot of different directions. And as good as Alabama's been, and I think the difference in this team is Simpson on the field is basically an extension of the offensive staff. This guy's clearly one of the great prototype coach's son quarterbacks.
Oh, man. He made it about 6 or 7 minutes. It was so close. Kip, get back on it, man, because we love your diatribe. We love where you're going. Before we see it, we'll check back in with him. It's the weekend of the 3 line, because it's another game, and I say 3, say 3.5, 2.5, 3.5, they're pretty much all the same when you're buying it. The Georgia Bulldogs giving up 3.5 at the Auburn Tigers. Case Keeper, where is the public money going on that? Georgia Bulldogs, of course, your defending champs, only losing 1 ball game after the Alabama Crimson Tide. Why are they only giving up 3.5 on the road to Auburn this weekend?
I guess unlike the other game, I don't know, you guys maybe the lines you're having are a little bit different than what opened here, but the major sports books opened like Alabama a 5.5-point favorite. So it really has been steady money on Missouri. I know you said you saw a 2.5 down there. This one though has stayed stagnant from the beginning. I have the first number I saw trickle out Saturday night was 3.5, still mostly 3.5. I see one juiced 3 here on Georgia, And while I have, I guess I'd say somewhat strong feelings on the Missouri game, I guess where Kai and I diverge is I think it's a great matchup for Missouri. I mean, Alabama's shown no ability to stop the run. They've struggled with mobile quarterbacks. I just love Hardy and Pribula. I think they're going to get theirs against Alabama. That's what's going to keep it close. But I don't have much to go off of with this Georgia-Auburn game. I think in my column where I pick every game, I ended up guessing Georgia, quote unquote. I think it's right where I made the number. Call it up real quick. Yeah, I made it 3.5. It's 3.5. I don't know. I feel like I say the same things about these teams every week, but I just don't have a lot of confidence in Georgia right now with Gunnar Stockton. I think he's pretty clearly one of the lesser quarterbacks in the SEC. All that being said, I think this is the only big time matchup they'll have in the SEC all year where they have a quarterback advantage, because I just don't trust Jackson Arnold to throw you back into a game, especially if you get down. They're probably going to get down here. That being said, I think the rest of Auburn's personnel is probably arguably better than Georgia's, maybe not in the receiver. I don't know. It's close everywhere. So I feel like it's a really close game where Georgia has a little bit more that they can do on offense. I think given the history and the standing, I think 3.5 is fine. And this is just not one I could get to a bet to either way.
Kai, that's another 3.5. And of course, here from a local standpoint, we have a lot of Auburn fans that love not only the show, the K4 Win Show, but also their Auburn Tigers. And they think this is really good way for Hugh Freeze to get right and get to 4-2 on the season. That'd be a huge victory in the South's oldest rivalry. What do you think?
Crazy shit happens in Jordan-Hare. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. The yeah. Georgia-Auburn game, the Alabama-Auburn game. I mean, you just had the miracle of, you know, heave-ho like 10 years ago when, you know, the fourth down, they threw it up. It bounced off the Georgia player's helmet to the Auburn wide receiver. Just weird crap happens. I'm with Case on the things. You know, we talked before the beginning of the year about how this is Auburn's most talented group they've had since probably 2004, but it's not showing on the field because Jackson Arnold can't throw a pass to save his life. You know, especially to me, the deep balls. He doesn't have much touch, and I just think against Georgia, Kirby Smart is a defensive mastermind, it seems. I think he's going to shut it, absolutely shut him down. I don't think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. I think the total's pretty damn low anyway, but I'd be shocked if Georgia did not cover. But then again, you know, shocking things happen in Jordan-Hare, and, you know, we'll see if history repeats itself.
Yeah, and again, this will be a great way for not only Hugh Freeze to get his fan base right and it'll just keep them where they feel like they should be, but probably give him another couple of years on his contract. That'll do that when you're beating a Kirby Smart and a Georgia, certainly at home for Hugh Freeze. The other game that I thought was just amazing, too, a 3-point line. Texas could have 3 losses in week 7 of the college football playoff, which would be unbelievable. Only giving up, we say 3, but it's 2.5. To an Oklahoma squad that just came out of nowhere, Case. Obviously, a team that a lot of people were up against last year. They got better towards the end of the season, but now all of a sudden, Oklahoma only catching 3 at Texas. And not sure what this Texas squad's about either. You had Florida earlier this past week. Of course, that was another one of those smelly fishes. Like, why in the world is a 1-3 Florida team only catching a couple points against a team that everyone had preseason number 1? And you nailed it. But what are your thoughts on that game?
I think maybe that was Kip. I had Texas, so I was a loser on that game. I'm kicking myself because I was high on Florida.
Appreciate your honesty. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I'm always honest over here. Yeah, there's still a couple threes in Vegas, actually. I think it looks like a minus 115, minus 118. So Kip could go indulge in some Oklahoma if he wanted. I probably wouldn't say to take the 2.5. Similar theme to the last game to me is well, not really, because I think Oklahoma's been more impressive than Texas, hands down. I actually, when I saw this was coming off 3 yesterday, I rushed and bet a little bit of Oklahoma plus 3. I just didn't want to miss in the off chance that Mateer gives it a go. I don't think he's going to. It seems like the signs are pointing against that, but it does seem like he's close. But in the way it's similar to the other game is I just, you know, Hawkins, their backup quarterback who's now playing for Mateer, who played a lot last year, I just don't trust him to be able to throw you back into a game. I mean, he's basically a run-only guy. With that big of a limitation, can you knock off Texas? I mean, Texas hasn't exactly looked great. I really thought this was a rally spot at the Swamp, and they'd get it together last week, but ultimately didn't happen. I mean, on paper, I like Oklahoma in a lot of places, but it just seems like, you know, as much as Arch Manning has struggled, I still think that he can put it together for a drive or two a game. I don't necessarily know if I can trust Hawkins to do that against this Texas defense, which again wasn't great against Florida, but still was not the reason they lost. I grabbed a three just because I do think it should close less than three. I think if Mateer somehow played, Oklahoma should be the favorite. But it's hard to trust Hawkins with his clear limitations as a quarterback to me.
No, we had Kip. I think he was actually going to start a show singing Down on the Boulevard because it was a perfect song that analogized not only the classic rock vibe of that particular era, but also of the college football teams that were supposed to be really good this year, that being Texas, Clemson, and, of course, Penn State. And none of them now in the top 25, but they were all top five going into the season. And there's the Texas Longhorns. What a bummer of a year if you're a Texas Longhorn fan coming to this season, preseason number one. Kai, what's your thoughts on this team? Are they just not that good? I mean, defensively speaking, from top to bottom, I thought they were fantastic. And again, this could be an ugly game against Oklahoma. They're still at home. And it's not like their season's thrown away by any stretch. They could still make the playoffs. But we just didn't expect them to be losing possibly three games, six games into the season.
Texas, number five defense in the country, giving up 12 points per game. However, Oklahoma's number two, giving up 7.2 points per game. And Oklahoma, as far as yards given up per game, is number one in the country, only giving up 193 yards a game. That does not seem to bode well for hashtag Arch Madness. But Arch Madness has kind of been Arch Pitifulness, in all reality. What has he done against a team that doesn't suck? Not a whole lot of anything. I was on the Tennessee Vols board yesterday, and it was like, hey, you know, if Arch enters the portal, would you want Heupel to go after him? And I didn't vote no. I voted hell no. I'm not impressed at all with him. I was high on him before the season in some ways, but there was no way that I thought he was going to be Heisman Trophy. Although if you go back to the week before the first show, said if they beat Ohio State, he's probably catapulted to the top. Texas defense looks good. Again, there's a reason why this total is 42.5, and it's going to take broken plays, missed tackles, something like that for this game to go over, in my opinion. And I really am going to like whoever is the dog when they go to game time under their team total.
Yeah, the thing that's really getting interesting, it's so bizarre, too, because of this whole NIL, the name, image, like, is to see Arch Manning doing a Warby Parker commercial. I'm watching that commercial last night for the glasses. Like, you know, I really wasn't seeing the ball well until I went to Warby Parker. He's got his glasses. And he's going, of course, you stand there next to Cooper. I'm one dude. And it's just like, oh, my gosh. I mean, do you imagine them making the endorsement early? I mean, and that's the risk you take, I guess, when you have someone with a name like Manning. To take that endorsement value to that level because he's making $3 million a year just from Warber. And, of course, also doing some stuff for Raising Cane's Red Bull and, several other endorsements that he's making, obviously more money than he possibly could make with the Texas Longhorns. So pretty funny stuff. We're going through a lot of SEC schools because we think the SEC is big around here. We do have a huge game in the Big Ten we'll get into in just a second. But I wanted to ask you, too, because I love seeing how teams react after big wins. And Florida just got that big win this past weekend. Now they go on the road to an A&M squad, undefeated, number five in the country, giving up 7.5. Case, what do you see in that game?
Man, we had been on a good run in the past shows. All these big games I had really strong feelings on and bets, and I think for the most part it's turned out well. It's kind of the opposite this week. I feel like I bet a lot, but a lot of these big games I don't have a feel for. I have not bet this game either. It's one where I'm kind of torn numbers-wise and intuition. I mean, I think if you're using any kind of statistical play-by-play data, almost any game this year, Texas A&M is going to jump off the page. I feel like they've kind of underperformed for how dominant they've been. So when I came out and made this number, I had it more like Texas A&M minus 9.5. But my intuition-wise, coming into the season, I liked what Florida had on paper better than Texas A&M. I think Florida has a higher ceiling than Texas A&M. I mean, Lagway wasn't perfect, but it was against Texas. If he keeps heading in the right direction, I mean, I think he's way better than Marcel Reed. I think he can be the best quarterback in the country if he hits his ceiling. So if Florida's trending that way, I would kind of like them. So from my feel, it kind of screams Florida at over a touchdown. But again, numbers-wise, it's Texas A&M. And to me, I ended up just passing. It is interesting. We've seen no movement on this number. And these have been like the betting market's two favorite teams. I mean, every single week, Florida has taken big money. I mean, the Texas game, I think it closed 4.5. They opened 7.5. And it's been that way every week, even when they were losing. Texas A&M really the same way. They've been a favorite, and it's like every line's moved 2 or 3 points in their way. So it seems like a lot of people are conflicted this week because these have been two bet-on teams. Two teams I've been high on at different points, too. And I don't know. Right now, I'd be interested to hear what you guys think. Is right now, it's just a sit-out for me. Do you go with Florida's upside, or do you go with the more trustworthiness of the Aggies?
Yeah, I'm honestly good to see what Napier's squad's going to be coming off that high. Obviously, that was a big victory. If you told me before the season started they'd be knocking off Texas, that would be a huge victory for Florida. But, of course, they're sitting there 2-3, obviously not with the 3 losses, and here they are catching 7.5 against an A&M squad that obviously is having a season that a lot of A&M fans wanted to have but didn't really expect. Kyle, what's your thoughts?
That's going to be a good game. I have not jumped into either side of it yet. That's the one that I like Elko. I like Elko's defense. I like the way they play. Florida's defense has been playing pretty well. But, again, I mean, they shut down Arch Manning, which everybody else has done also. Big deal. You get up there and you say, hey, we're going to put 8 men on the line of scrimmage against Texas and dare you to throw, Arch. Because you hadn't thrown it to, your team very successfully this year. That's a game I'm waiting on. I've spent a lot of time on these midweek games to try to get a bankroll up for the weekend. That game I still need to look at again because right now it's a pass for me as well.
And you can make money on all the sports, including the NHL, which gets started in earnest later on tonight. We're going to be all over that. Of course, the Las Vegas Knights get their season started as well this week. We'll have picks on all those games coming up. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. If Kip were on, he'd say that Indiana still hasn't played anybody. Now they finally go on the road to Eugene to play Oregon. Case, can I make an argument that if Indiana does get a victory on the road and go to 6-0, they're the real deal?
I wish Kip was here to hear this. This is why I'm glad he dropped off. Someone clip this up and send it to him. We need to stop talking about Indiana's schedule. It looks way better in hindsight. Old Dominion is like a fringe top 5, group of 5 team. They didn't crush them, but they neutralized them pretty good. Kennesaw State is way better than anyone expected. They haven't lost since they played Indiana. We act like Indiana, last year it was the case, and it did look like this year they were playing like the absolute dregs of college football. I mean, that's not the case. Both those teams look a lot better. All this a precursor to say here, I love Indiana this week. I bet 9.5. It's still now split between 7, 7.5. I would take the 7.5 while you can. It does scare me a little bit going all the way to Eugene. I mean, that is a tough trip. But just on paper, Indiana has way better metrics across the board than Oregon. And to me, they've played a better schedule. I know Oregon had the one bigger game at Penn State, but we got to knock that down a little bit after Penn State just lost to UCLA. I mean, beyond that, Indiana's played tougher competition than Oregon has. Again, I wish this game was at Indiana, but I don't know. Just everything to me screams that Indiana is way undervalued here. And clearly the market agrees with me. Again, it's moved almost 3 points to a key number since I made it. So I really, really like Indiana here. This is the one big game where I have strong feelings. I mean, even if they don't win outright, staying within a touchdown seems like a no-brainer to me. I think it's really impressive what's going on in Bloomington. Maybe this is the week where it all comes crashing down, although I kind of am not even as worried about that as last year. Just I know they had Curtis Rourke, who was very good. I mean, he's on the 49. He's technically the 49ers, or he might be on injured reserve, whatever. He's on the 49ers roster now. But you upgrade from Curtis Rourke, kind of like a fringe draft guy, to Fernando Mendoza, who might be the number one overall pick, definitely going to be a first-round guy. I feel like that kind of stabilizes you. I don't know. Everything to me points to Indiana here at over a touchdown. I say go out and get those remaining 7.5 because I like the Hoosiers.
Kai, if it looks like a duck, does it sound like a duck? Does it play like a duck against the Hoosiers this weekend?
I mean, who would have thought that Louisiana Tech's going to go to Kennesaw State, only be a 6.5-point favorite? At the same time, you've got ODU going to Marshall as a 14.5-point favorite. So that should tell some people some things about those teams and what Indiana has played. Indiana's got a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. That's pretty impressive, when you look at that. I love landing in Oregon. It's difficult for me to get away from it. I'm not going to lay over 7 in this game without a shadow of a doubt. I don't know if I can take 7.5 because the heart in me watching it wants Oregon to win. I don't really know why. I don't really have a reason because, I mean, a bunch of libtards up there more than likely. So we don't agree philosophically, but for some reason I just like Dan Lanning and like Oregon as far as a team from a crappy conference.
I love me some Lanning as well, man. We talked about it last week. All right, I do have to ask you because this is the first show since we had our Saturdays, and of course we do our shows every Tuesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Central. Thanks to the fine folks at the Coastal Digital Sports Network and Tony Curry Radio for airing all of our stuff. You can find us on our own YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio, and of course the K4 Wins YouTube channel as well. What the hell happened to Penn State? What happened to Coach Franklin, Case? I had Penn State minus the 24.5. I thought they bounced back. He does great when he's favored by big points, and he likes to blow out teams. They never showed up. What happened?
I mean, yeah, this team is just not what we thought it was going to be. And I put myself first. I mean, not what I thought it was going to be. I thought they were going to be great this year. I mean, I think they lost a couple transcendent players. It's pretty obvious now that Tyler Warren was like their whole offense, kind of brought the best out of Drew Aller. And then defensively, I mean, I just think Abdul Carter was such a game wrecker. They're not the same without him either. Clearly weren't prepared. I mean, this is a kind of a sleepy spot. You go to the West, we've seen just terrible. You know, all these teams have done terrible when they're going from one coast to the other in the Big Ten. But, I mean, all that being said, you just find a way to grit it out and win. You don't, in your wildest dreams, lose that game. So, yeah, pretty awful showing there. I will say, I mean, I think it was a perfect storm of a lot of things. Like I said, bad spot, a Penn State team that's way worse than we ever thought. And, you know, my one hesitation, and I even wrote about this 2 weeks ago, I did guess UCLA in that game, so I got a number in the win column, I call them. But what I had written about UCLA the week before and why I bet them at Northwestern is I do think Tim Skipper and their new interim coach is a big upgrade from Deshaun Foster. I shouldn't say I know him, but I've met him a few times. He was here at UNLV for a while, just a really beloved guy, college football lifer. I do think he's getting the best out of these kids and is just probably more ready for the role than Deshaun Foster, who's basically plucked out of obscurity to be the coach. I think an all-time terrible hire. So, I mean, you see it time and time again in college football where you get a bump from these interim coaches. This is not at all to excuse Penn State. I mean, it's a terrible loss. But I do think we got to give UCLA some credit, too, because they looked like a completely different team. And I think a big part of that is getting a new coach in there, a coach that I think has a better chance than their previous one.
4-21, Franklin, is against top 10 teams since he got to Penn State. And, again, you know, we talk about how he's done against top 10s. We know how he does against inferior opponents. And all of a sudden, a 24-point dog getting the outright win. Kai, what did you see in that ball game?
Big game, James. There you go. Big game, James. And it wasn't even a big game.
It wasn't a big game.
Nico got AP Player of the Week, I think, and he didn't even throw for 200 yards. He ran a lot. That's all I can say about it. Big game, James. I mean, there you go. I mean, he loses games that they make you look at yourself and go, how? How did they lose?
Yeah, I mean, everything from paper to everything else looked like that was going to be a blowout, and unfortunately, and again, the only thing you can put on is their brand new skipper. That's the only thing that really changed, and they came out light. And good for them, good for UCLA. Obviously, there's some legacy there, and the UCLA, some football's had some great competition and some great success in the past. But it was pretty neat to see them actually go out to get that done. Any hope for my Clemson Tigers? By the way, my son's always asked me, "Are you doing your show this week?" I'm like, "Of course I am." He said They're taking on Boston College. They gave up 14 this past week on the road and got the cover. They won by 28, and now they're giving up 14 again to Boston College, a 1-4 squad. Does Dabo get fat again, Case?
One of my biggest bets of the week, I bet Boston College plus 14.5 yesterday. It's crazy how far I've swung on Clemson. I just feel like we're being way too emotional with them, the betting market as a whole. Like, we come into the year, they're going to be the greatest team. They're going to win the national championship. I was happy to bet against that. Then they lose a couple, and it's this team's terrible. They're awful. They have no chance. So now I've bet on them the last 2 weeks. I went 1-1, of course. They lost outright to Syracuse, but did crush North Carolina. I was all too happy to fire on them in the openers in that game. Now they have one good game against North Carolina, who I think is – one of the worst teams in the Power Conference football. I mean, just a complete disaster. They did not do a good job getting the right players there, I think we can say now. Just because you blow out North Carolina, now the betting market swings to, oh, okay, everything's back fine now. I mean, this is like a touchdown shift from what this line would have been a week ago. I know Boston College got blown out against Pitt, but I think there were some crazy circumstances in that game, too. Pitt goes to this freshman quarterback who just can't miss. I forget his name now. I've written about it, and I bet Pitt this week, so I should probably know his name by now. Kid from Ohio, kind of lightly recruited, but I'm totally buying into him. I think it was a great spot for Clemson last week, a terrible spot for Boston College. You know, to see this line flip a touchdown based off those results, that's too much for me. I really like Boston College's coaching staff. I know talent-wise, Clemson should have them covered here, but more than two touchdowns, I think Clemson wins, but I don't know. I feel like this is a close game at Boston College. I mean, if anything that blowout's going to do, they're going to be more sharp, more locked in this week. I trust Bill O'Brien to bring the best out of them. I think Clemson, as a fan, I think you're probably in for another nail-biter. I think they get it done, but I'm just not ready to say, okay, all is right with Clemson now because you blew out just a completely feeble North Carolina team.
Believe it or not, they're just happy they're not at home. My son was like, I'm so happy they're not here. And I'm like, why? He goes, because the campus just sucks when they lose. He said, it's bad enough when they lose, when they're on the road. He said, when they're here on campus, he's like, it's just no fun to be around for sure. I think he's actually coming home. I think it's fall break, so he'll probably get out of there and come home and see his old man this weekend. Kai, you were talking about how you like to look at early ball games. We'll get some Major League Baseball here in just a few seconds. It looks like the Yankees are up against the ropes right now against the Toronto Blue Jays. Are down 2-0. We'll talk about that. But also, any other games that kind of jumped out to you on the college football platform this weekend before we jump into some other sports?
Well, I mean, obviously my Tennessee Vols are at home against Arkansas, and you got two top 10 offenses as far as yardage going and everything. I'm going to love Tennessee over their team total, especially in the first half. It's just the kind of thing they do. And let's be honest, Arkansas's defense just completely blows. However, you've got the exact same thing you had with UCLA and Penn State, where you've got Petrino coming in. He's gotten rid of everybody, new defense coordinator calling things. Well, that doesn't make anybody tackle better. And hey, we got a kid that starts at Arkansas here from Hoover, Bradley Shaw. Great kid that's up there playing middle linebacker, number 7. You're going to see him make a ton of tackles this weekend. So shout out to Shaw and his dad that I've known for a long time. I love a lot of these early games, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, I'm looking at Missouri State, at UTEP. You know, for some reason, I want to take La Tech against Kennesaw State. If it gets over 7, I feel like they've played better competition in the get-go, but I'm loving East Carolina plus 7. I mean, I'm looking at that Jacksonville-San Jose State game with a lot of points scored there, South Florida and North Texas, and a lot of people are forgetting, you know, Rutgers is going cross-country to play at Washington. Washington has not played horrible. They're giving up 10, 9.5 in some spots. There's a lot of good games to make a bankroll for people going into Saturday, I think.
Couple of interesting games too. Michigan USC, which I think has got an interesting twist to it. A pair of 4-1 teams. I think it's going to be interesting. Kansas Texas Tech. Texas Tech, obviously a top 10 team right now. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch in that particular game. My UAB Blazers, believe it or not, are only catching 5.5 at Florida Atlantic. I don't get that line because UAB just is one of the worst teams in college football right now. They're just not a good football team, but somehow they're only catching 5.5. And then I'm looking at some of the Naval academies as well, where I see Navy only giving up 9.5 at Temple, a team that actually I went against a couple times early in the season. Since you have one in the armed forces, any way you're kind of going back and forth a little bit this on Kai against Temple, would you give up the 9.5?
I think Navy's defense is playing a little bit better. I watched the Navy Air Force game, and I thought it was the best game of the weekend, just in my opinion. But it's also watching the armed services, obviously, and pulling for Navy since my son's a Marine. And people are like, well, why didn't the Marines have a team? Well, they do. I mean, they're a part of Navy. So you see Marines, you know, on the Naval team. But anyway, I can't take 9.5 points with Temple against anybody except maybe UAB. They're just not good. I don't know if I can lay 9. I think one of the plays that I'm jumping all over is Air Force. I'm waiting on the team total to come out in their game. Slartska or whatever this freshman is, the way he has looked the past 2 weeks for Air Force gives him another dimension. I mean, you had the Air Force and Navy, and both teams threw for over 200 yards against each other. When's the last time that's happened?
I don't think it's ever happened. And I think your text wrote something like Saturday night, like 11:30, time to get on board, bitches, with UNLV, I think is what you're doing.
Right.
Get on board, bitches, with UNLV. And they're giving up 6 against Air Force. So you may be onto something, man. I may have to jump on board.
There's going to be a lot of points scored in that game.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Both defenses are very bad. tend to think UNLV has a better chance of getting it together because they have all these major conference transfers. I laid some 5.5 with UNLV yesterday. I know it went right back up. I still think at less than 7, I think UNLV would be the side. I feel like Air Force is another team getting this 1 week boost. That was by far the best game they played all year against Navy. And I don't, these Service Academy games just play differently. I know they don't usually play differently where there's 65 points, but I just think Air Force, I mean, defensively, they look like one of the worst teams in the nation. And UNLV's offense, I can be a bitch that gets on board with UNLV's offense because UNLV's offense is awesome. I don't know if they have the defense long term, but I don't see Air Force stopping them enough, in my opinion, to cover this number.
I don't know if they'll cover. I just like the team total over. And since this Slarska kid came in, I mean, he put up, I think, 30 points in the second half versus Hawaii and then turned around and comes out and puts up points against Navy. And I agree. I don't think they're great defenses either way. I just think the Air Force is going to score because they do some different things. And now you've got to prepare for the option with them actually passing. So it's going to, I think it's going to, you know, get in some people's heads a little bit this year.
No one's talking about the Buckeyes this year, and maybe for obvious reasons. They're sitting there 5-0, though. They're just being nice and quiet, just winning their ball games, regardless of who they're playing. They're playing Ohio, and they're playing Miami, Ohio. They're playing every team from the state of Ohio, and all of a sudden they go on to fight the Illini, getting 14.5. Is this where Ryan Day likes to let everyone know, hey, listen, we're still the number one team in college football, and we're going to blow them out, Case?
I hope not. I hope this is where he gets punched in the mouth. I took some Illinois plus 15.5. I thought that was too high. I made this 12.5, a 3-point difference. That's too much for me. I think Illinois just got downgraded so bad by this Indiana stomping. And again, I just kind of wax poetic about how much I'm loving the Hoosiers right now. I don't think they deserve to be demoted that much. I mean, they've covered both the games since easily, beat USC outright, just killed Purdue last week. So I don't know, 15.5 just seemed a little aggressive to me. I do know Ohio State's scary. I think I would have them the number one team right now. You know, my hold up with them early was I just didn't know if Saiyan was really that guy, but it seems like he's been so much better. It seems like they could unleash him a little bit more. So you do have, you know, if they go down, I feel like maybe they open up the playbook for Saiyan a little bit, but I don't know. Illinois is pretty good in the trenches. I don't feel like it's going to be a mismatch there. I think Illinois can hang around. I don't think they're going to win outright or anything, but you could still get more than two touchdowns. Give me more than two touchdowns with Illinois. I'll gladly take that. Ohio State's been a tough schedule too. I mean, they've traveled coast to coast. They haven't had a bye week, I think, maybe since week two. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of little things maybe pointing Illinois' direction here to at least keep it close. I won't be playing the money line, won't be playing on them to win outright, but I think they'll slow the game down. And I just don't think that downgrading them so much from getting beat by Indiana like that, a lot of people are going to get beat by Indiana like that.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball. It still goes on. The Mariners and Tigers, of course, the Blue Jays, the Yankees. The Yankees down 2-0. We'll start with that series right there. I know we have a bunch of Yankee haters, particularly in the South. You got them everywhere, really. And a lot of people absolutely are loving the fact the Blue Jays are up 2-0. Tell us where we're at, Kai. You're a baseball man. Tell us where we're at in Major League Baseball. And, of course, the playoffs continue here in our second round.
I can't believe the total 7.5 in the Yankees-Toronto game. I really can't. I mean –
I'm seeing an eight now.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and then they're going to come out and score. It's going to be 1-0. But these two teams are hitting the ball. The last game, you know, 10-6, and you're in Yankee Stadium with the little matchbox to right field to hit it out. I mean, I just don't see how you could play under in that game. And I'm knock on wood because I want them to lose, but I think the Yankees are dead. Toronto is a much better team than the Yankees are, with a 1,000 times better manager. But let's be honest, the three of us could do just as good a job as Aaron Boone. So, I mean, you know, that goes without saying. I do think Seattle has gotten past, and they're not going to see Scooble again. And I think Seattle is a very good and very underrated team. But I still say the finals are Seattle and Milwaukee.
I think that'd be fantastic. I would love to see a Seattle. Who would have thunk it, right? Seattle, Milwaukee would be fantastic. And from a money standpoint, it's not for Case. No, he's like, no.
From a baseball purist standpoint, I understand no. But at the same time, from a baseball purist standpoint, those two are the most purist baseball teams left. They do everything well. They do the small things. The Yankees aren't going to bunt you over or sacrifice and do that. They want to come out and hit home runs. Same damn thing with the Dodgers. Same thing with the Phillies. Same thing with the Cubs lineup. Seattle, yes, they've got a catcher that's hitting the ball. He's hitting home runs and all that. But they do all the little things. And Milwaukee beats you with their pitching, their bullpen, base-to-base hits, not a ton of home runs either.
Two of the most consistent teams, too, from start to finish, too.
I wasn't saying no as a baseball fan or speaking on this baseball purity. I just care about money, and I'm all in on Dodgers, Mariners. And I think the Dodgers should be a big favorite right now, personally. I get that from a purity standpoint, they're great, but you can't say they do everything well. I mean, this team has no power, basically, now. They've really tailed off in that regard. I think their pitching's not as great either, so I don't know. But again, this isn't a fan thing. I'm all in on the Dodgers, and I have no Brewers, so I'm hoping the Dodgers get it done. But yeah, I agree with a lot of the other things. I bet the Blue Jays in the series. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, and I didn't even stop. I bet them again today. I think that now it's even at a better price than I got. I think I bet plus 136. I see you can get a plus 140 now. For as much as Kai hates the Yankees, he sure sounds like a Yankee fan with the way he's talking about Aaron Boone. Because I'm getting so sick of the Yankee fans just ranting and raving about how terrible he. I mean, Kai, I'm not saying he's good. I'm not saying he's good.
Re-sign him and give him a lifetime contract. Are you kidding me?
Kai is the epitome of know your friends well, know your enemies better. And he's very, very good at that. That's the reason why he's so good at handicapping ball games. No, and I don't know what the deal was with Aaron coming out after the game, too, after they got the series win, the first series. And, of course, he has this players-only meeting with the guys talking about, you know, how it takes a championship team to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you're with the fucking Yankees. What are you doing? I mean, he had this big blow-up with his team talking about, okay, we've gotten through, but this is not going to win us a championship. And I'm like, who are you talking to? What are you doing? Of course, they go out there and lay a 2-0 egg to the Blue Jays, which is perfect. That goes a lot to say about how his managerial skills certainly are. All right, something I wanted to get into too, and Kai, we know you have some other things going on. This show is always number one. And by the way, if you're watching the starting lineup this weekend, Kai's going to join us. We're going to have the president of the Talladega Super Speedway. It's race weekend, October 17th. Through the 19th, the Talladega Super Speedway. You get a chance to get on there, get your tickets, talladegasuperspeedway.com. We'll be talking to him coming up on Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock, right here on ABC 3340 Local. Also on our YouTube channel on ABC 3340. Check it out. Kai will be a co-host as Kip joins us, sent out there in Las Vegas for the gaming committee. But we do have some hockey going on. I'm not a big hockey guy. I want to be a hockey guy. Towards the end of last year, I was betting on some hockey. Tell me how to do it. Tell me what's hot. Give me your little preseason look. And I know both of you guys are into it, Case more so than Kai, because Case, you're right there in Las Vegas. The Knights, of course, kick off their season next evening, the following evening. But tell me where you're at and what you see in the hockey sphere, if you will.
Yeah, I'm operating the last few days on very little sleep because I'm trying to get ready for the hockey season. Betting-wise as much as writing-wise, to throw this in with everything else, really going through everything and getting into it. I will say a lot of times by this time, you know, the way I typically do things is right when a season ends and my mind's really fresh and I have all the up numbers, I like to look at the very opening futures, maybe fire a couple, not always though, and then kind of circle back around. And usually that process leads me like a couple different teams. There's some different ways I look at it. This is one season I can remember. I think we talked about it at the end of last year, at the end of the Stanley Cup, certainly on this show and the starting lineup. There were two teams that just stood out above the rest of me that I thought there was a ton of value on, the Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I've kind of arrived at the same point again, doing this new process. I still just love both of those teams. Now the market has kind of come towards me, especially with Tampa Bay. You can't get the prices I gave out in June on Tampa Bay anymore. That's largely because of Florida's injury situation. It looks like they have a much clearer path in the Atlantic. But I just think people are kind of forgetting this was like the best team in the NHL at the end of last year. They were favored to beat the Panthers in that first round series. I know it didn't go their way, but they're a little bit older, so there's always the worry that they could decline. But I mean, they have a great goalie. They score as well as anyone. I mean, they check everybody. They have the best coach in the sport in John Cooper. So I'm still really enamored with Tampa in the East. And in the West, I mean, I think if you suggest anyone other than Edmonton is the best team, you're probably doing it wrong. I mean, Edmonton, they've won it relatively easily the last 2 years. They're probably going to be great again this year. But I do think the gap isn't as much between them and Colorado, especially with Nathan MacKinnon. It's really leveled up these last couple of years. I mean, he's not Connor McDavid, but he's not too far behind. Vegas, really, really good too. But I think it's going to take a little bit to click with the new superstar in place and Mitch Marner. But I feel like there is a gap in the West. I feel like it's those three teams. It's Edmonton, Vegas, and Colorado, and then to me, everyone else. So if you're looking just for, throw in some bets, your teams to back that you'll like long term. I'm really high on Colorado and Tampa Bay still. Even though the prices have gone my way a little bit, I really like those two teams coming into the year.
I got an email here, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Skip wants to know, please ask Case if any of the major sports franchises in Las Vegas will win a championship in the next 5 years. So you got you got the
Raiders.
You got the Raiders. Well, you know, we got 5 years. You know what? I can turn. I mean, I saw a Rams squad go 4-12 to 12-4 in 1 year. And of course, you also got the A's. And now, of course, you got the Knights who have been there, done that. Which thoughts?
I mean, the Knights are always going to be in the conversation just with, I mean, they are going to have, I think they're going to lock up Eichel here. They haven't announced the contract extension. There's some probably nerves with Golden Knights fans, but you're going to have Jack Eichel and Mitch Marner. That's one of the best 1-2 punches in the NHL for the next 5 years. You got to say they have a really good chance. The A's young core looks incredible. I don't know if they count because they won't come to Vegas till 2028, but the A's could get there. The Raiders almost for sure not, but I will say if they're this bad, that helps their long-term championship outlook. So sure, they need a really high pick to take a young quarterback. They're spending a lot more money in the front office now and all like the support stuff they didn't used to have. So the Raiders, you know, I'd still say it's just so hard to win a championship. I'd still say it's a slight underdog to happen in the next 5 years, but with the Golden Knights being in there every year, the A's trending up, and maybe even the Raiders, I still think they've got some of the right ideas here. I think they need to get the right coach, a coach that's going to be here in 5 years. I don't think Pete Carroll will, but if they get the coach and the quarterback, who knows too. So I'd say it's pretty close to 50-50. Probably not going to happen. The Golden Knights definitely are the likeliest of the bunch.
When it comes to betting on hockey, and listen, I don't care what it is. I'll bet on two birds on a wire, man. I mean, I'm all in. Give me some of the lines, some of the things you look at when you're looking at NHL. Do you ever look at, sometimes I'll look at puck lines, but I'll look at over-under and first period lines, which I think are really interesting. Give me some things that you've been really successful at through the NHL where you can find value perhaps the regular bettor cannot find in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still mainly a sides guy, and if you're going to do that, I would say one thing is just don't wait. The guys with really, really big money and that are really shaping the market, they're going to wait till the last minute in hockey because they want to see the goalie confirmations. They want to see the lineups. If you're a little bit, I mean, not even, I don't even want to say small time. If you're doing this at a high level but not at the absolute, you know, you're not putting, you know, minimum five figures on every game, you should just be trying to figure that stuff out for yourself. Hey, you know, this goalie started the last three games. They're Colorado or whoever's likely to go to this other guy. You should try to beat it like that and bet earlier. The one kind of a derivative market that I have started betting a lot in that I think is fun and I think people like is I really do like betting goal scorers. You got to be prepared for some swings. You know, there's big plus money, so you're going to go through some downswings where you don't hit any in a while. But I think it's one market that's not fully shaped by analytics at this point. If you really if you can you know, familiarize yourself with a lot of the metrics, a lot of the analytics, I think there's real opportunities in goal scorers. There's a great resource. NaturalStatTrick.com is a site I like live on during the NHL season. You use their expected goals numbers, their Corsi, which is basically any shot sent towards the goal. If you use that and see where there's some discrepancies, where's maybe some guys getting unlucky, a low shooting percentage, who's taking the minutes, who has the higher expected goals than they're getting, I think you can find some good goal scorer bets. So that would be my, if you're looking for like kind of a different way to approach it. I don't play a ton of totals. I'm going to try to play more this year, but I think goal scorers is a really fun way to do it. And again, if you become a one with those expected goal numbers, you know, some of the more advanced numbers, I do feel like you'll find some good opportunities there.
Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Kip, of course, is joining us out in Las Vegas, and of course, his iPad didn't work real well, so we let him go. And of course, Kai had another business opportunity to take off, and we're totally cool with that. Just a couple more minutes here with Case Kiefer, of course, the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun, does fantastic work. Troy in Northport, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, wants to know, why is it so damn hard to play live games with my man here locally? and he also wants to know, is there any good value in playing power play lives? I guess he's talking about maybe when you're watching a game and it's live and there's a power play opportunity. Are there any good opportunities to play hockey lives? First of all, explain to people how obviously the lines are different from here than they are in Vegas. Obviously, if you're sitting in a casino at Caesar Sportsbook, it's going to be a lot easier to play the live lines than it is to play with your guy here in Birmingham, Alabama, where gambling obviously is not legal.
Yeah, I love we're getting all these questions. Happy to do my best to swing and answer them. I got to be honest, though, I'm probably not the authority to talk about live betting. I don't do a ton, but it is easy to do here. And it is a thing if you're sitting by the TV and watching a game. I do think you can see some opportunities there. You know, power play wise, obviously, you want to be, you know, I would think there's some opportunity there that if you want to bet a team going into the power play or whatever, I would just be worried. I just think that's all priced in, probably priced in pretty well at this point. Again, I don't really speak for too much experience because I hardly ever bet live. When I do bet live, it's usually basketball or football. I mean, I can't remember. I don't want to say ever, but if I've bet hockey live, it's been once or twice ever. I mean, it hardly ever happens. Maybe that's another one where you can go with the goal scorers. I mean, we have a pretty good idea of what power play unit's going to be going out for every team. So I would feel on the main markets like money line and spread. I mean, the books are probably very on top of it. I'm sure their algorithms price that in right away when they get to the power play. Maybe a different way to look at it is just, you know, kind of go into the game with some ideas of who you think might score, maybe where there's going to be some advantages on the power play. I guess I don't know what local guys have either. I'm in Nevada, so I've always been a fully a legal guy. It's just this is where I've lived ever since I've been legal to bet. Yeah. So
well, I don't really know how that works. You have to play it really fast. I'm saying if you're sitting there playing your phone, and certainly a lot of people like to do that, but if you're sitting there and you can get a live line on a game, you better jump on it. You got time to think about it. You got to jump all over it because by the time you put your bet in, it's over. Get after it.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, you're a local guy might not like this much, but if you do have access to like Pinnacle, I know uses a really good service, the longtime pillar of offshore. If you like look at the Pinnacle live lines, or Circa doesn't deal them on that many games, but look at like the Circa or Pinnacle live lines, you get that up on your computer, compare them to your local guy. And if there's a big difference, I would bet on the side of the Circa and the Pinnacle. Your local guy might not like that. It might not help you keep accounts, but I think that would be a good way to approach it.
There you go. Back at you coming up on Friday morning, 10 o'clock Central. Thanks again, of course, to the Sports Coastal Digital Network. There was wonderful work. And, of course, to Tony Curry Radio for our hundreds of thousands of folks who have downloaded the TKR app. We greatly appreciate you. And, of course, you can hear these shows on Tony Curry Radio, not to mention, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available on every major industry. Have a great time with your old man out there. Enjoy the beginning of the hockey season, my friend. I wish I could be with you. And we'll catch up on Friday morning, okay?
All right, thanks a lot. Good
talking
to you.
Thank you, brother. See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.